come before you, that we can worship you, that we can praise you, that we can seek your name. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this time as we look into your word. Lord, that you would open our ears and open our hearts especially, that we would hear and absorb and take to heart what is being said, what you will bring. And Lord, get me out of the way. Let me share what you want shared in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I didn't have enough time. But I wanted to share more about the end times and some of the things that are going to happen. First of all, though, I want to mention the drug education thing that we had this last week here at the church. And it was scary, but really amazing. Amazing in the sense that our policemen, the sheriffs and local police, are dealing with things that we just have no idea. It is a huge, huge problem. I mean, just to state a huge problem is an understatement. There are things that are going on out there. You can't even pick up garbage along the side of the road without worrying about touching something with bare hands that will affect you. It's just crazy. And one of the questions that Kathy posed was, are you jaded about humanity? And pretty much they are. And so we need to pray for them as well. Put them on your list to pray for them daily because of things that they deal with. And if you have a chance to go to this drug education class, they are having one in Leona, I guess, on the 23rd, is it, I think? Something like that. Go to it. It's scary, yes, but you need to see this because there's stuff going on that we just are oblivious of. And we need to be in support of our policemen and our emergency people as well. So, with that said, last week we looked at the end times and it really should urge us to desire to be holy or separated from this world, from the things of this world, and seeking to be more Christ-like. So, how do we do that? And it's just what we're doing right now, meeting together. And I want you to go to that scripture. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, 18:31 in your pew Bibles, Hebrews chapter 10. And when you look at it, we're going to be in Hebrews the whole time, and when you look at Hebrews and you look at verses 24 and 25 of chapter 10, he lays it out for us. He says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more since you see the day," in capitalizations, "approaching." So the day is talking about the end times, the day that Jesus is coming back. So literally, the words used for gathering together is just that, that we should gather together, that we should become a group, that we should get together. And it's for worship and teaching or learning. And the other side of that, you know, what does it say about a person who professes to believe in Jesus Christ and they do not feel it important to meet together? So, you know, it's a huge question because we have a lot of people out there that are like, well, I don't need to go to church. You know, that's just organized religion and I reject organized religion and all that kind of thing. But the scriptures tell us specifically, don't give up on that. Be very conscious about going and meeting together. Don't give up on it. It's got a purpose. And here's the purpose. Verses 1 through 18 in chapter 10. And we're not going to read the whole thing because of time. But basically what it says is that Jesus gave his life in place of the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb. The priest, day after day, would give a sacrificial lamb in place of a person, and it would cover their sins. The blood of that sacrifice covered their sins. But they did that day after day. They did it year after year, and it didn't take care of the sins forever. But Jesus, when he died, it says that he did it once and for all. Now I want us to look at verses 17 and 18 of that. Then he adds, it says, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." In other words, Jesus died on the cross once and for all. He's not coming back and going back on the cross. He only died once, on the cross, once, for all sin. See, the priests, they did it day after day because he didn't do that. But Jesus, he is the high priest. He's the Lamb of God. He's the sacrifice. He was the perfect, blameless Lamb who was sacrificed in our place and covers all our sins. That's not me. So, what I want you to focus on is that Jesus sacrificed and did it all. Oh. Let's take a minute and pray right now for our people. Father, we pray as the emergency squad is taking off, Lord, that you be with them, give them safety, Lord, that you would cover them with your Spirit and help them in whatever situation it is. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus came to the cross. He died once and for all. Verses 19 and 22 through 22 of Hebrews 10 says, "Therefore," see, remember all the things that happened before, the sins and lawless acts I will remember no more, and what's been forgiven is no longer any sacrifice for sin. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, the body, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." You know, the purpose of Jesus dying on the cross wasn't just a, "Okay, everybody, everything's cool now. You're going to heaven." That's not what happened. Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for all of our sins. But now there's a step that we need to take. We step out and we accept that as we accept Jesus as our Savior, and then we need to draw near to Him. We need to connect ourselves with Jesus with a sincere heart. And when we do that, He cleanses us. And we're to be made pure. We're not to, it's kind of like, you know, you ever do this, like your kids, they come in from outside or they just get a bath in the morning. You give them all that bath and they go outside and they just jump all over mud. They just get this dirty and filthy and you're like, "I just cleaned you." And isn't that the same? Jesus Christ comes and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He purifies us, and then we want to go and jump in the mud in the world and get involved in all the things. You see, we're to draw near to God with a sincere heart and be cleansed and made pure. Now, don't be a wimp. I added that in there. Don't be a wimp. Hold on to what you profess. You know, we're told that we're to hold on and hold tightly to the hope that we have. Draw near to God and cleanse ourselves. Don't give up. Now, I want us to go back to that last part of the scripture, 24 and 25. And look again what it says. 24 and 25. It says, oh, let's back up to 23, excuse me. 23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Let us hold unswervingly. You know, I was looking up on those words, you know, find out what it literally meant. You know, we're not talking about work salvation where, you know, you got to work your way to heaven. It's salvation. Believing in Jesus brings salvation. But there's an obligation. We're not just, you know, free to do whatever you want to do. Jesus expects us to represent Him in this world. And it says here that we have a part, and that is to hold on. Hold fast is the literal word. Hold fast. Unwaveringly means strong and unshrinking or unshaking. So here's the image I got in my head. You're walking along out in the woods somewhere, and there's this deep pit. I mean, it's really deep, and if you fall in it, you're done. And you're walking along with your kid, maybe 6 to 8 years old. And you're walking along, and your child runs over, you know, like most kids would do, to see what's there, and starts to fall. You reach out and you grab hold. You have a hold of that child's arm. Are you going to let go? No way. I mean, I don't care how much my arm hurts. I don't care if I dislocated my shoulder. I don't care if my hand aches. That or ants are climbing on it, or ticks are all over. It doesn't matter. I'm going to hold on to my child, unswerving, unshaking, strong, holding fast to that child's arm to pull him to safety. That's the image I want you to think about when you hold unswervingly, holding fast to what Jesus Christ has done for us and what we have said and what He has done through the Holy Spirit, through God the Father, that we're to hold on. We're not to wimp out. You know, I hear so many excuses with some of the people that, you know, we get out here in the world and some of, you know, we've seen it on TV, you know, the college kids are just being wimped out and they need security llamas and what is it, rooms, safety rooms that they have to go to, and so that they can, and now, believe it or not, there's people that are actually paid to snuggle. So you can go and you can pay this person some money and they will snuggle you. Non-sexual snuggling, but snuggling, and they'll sit there and just hug on you because you need it so bad. And this is what college kids nowadays are being exposed to, that, you know, if you have a little issue, if you know, you've got a B instead of an A in class, you can go snuggle. We're not to be like that. In this world, we have tribulation, Jesus told us. We're not to sit there and go, oh, you know, I just can't do it. I see people across the world who are risking their lives in belief of Jesus Christ. Individuals who give it all in faith of Jesus Christ. Verse 24, it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. How in the world can you spur one another on to good deeds and to stay true to the Lord if you don't come and meet together? You know, we're to come together so that we can be encouraged. Ray Keepers just ran a marathon. 26 miles. I mean, I can't even imagine that. Now they say that and he was explaining this to me, how the race went. And he says, you know, everything went out pretty good up to 20 miles. And then it starts to wear on you. Your legs start to ache. Your feet start to hurt. Your body is drained of everything that it could possibly be drained of. And it's grueling. And you get up to the last mile. And he said he turned the corner and he saw the finish line. And then there were people along the side of the road. Yeah, come on, you can do it. And you know, you start picking up the pace. Because, yeah, I'm going to run. And he said, no, it's not going to happen. He had nothing to draw on. There was nothing left. And I know what that's like, you know, in the triathlon, in the same way, you know, you're running the 5K and it's the last race of the day, and after you've done the 10K and the kayaking and all the other stuff, and you're running along and you see all those people and you see the finish line and you go, I'm running now. That's what it does to you. People along the side of the road, people here encourage you. They spur you on. They get you excited about the Lord. Are you excited or not? You know? I mean, that's what we're here for. That's what the body is here for. So that we can encourage and help each other and lift each other up. You come to church and you know, I don't want you walking out of here going, oh man, that was a waste of time. I want you to be able to say, you know, man, I'm so glad I came. And then I can't wait till next week. So that I can get boosted again. You know, verse 25, then, as it ties it up, it says, let us not give up meeting together. There's some that are in the habit of doing that. But let us encourage one another. And all the more since that day is approaching. And let me tell you, that day is coming. You look in the news now, and it's like reading the Revelation. It's like reading the prophecies of the Scriptures. I mean, Israel, 70-year celebration this week. 50-year celebration for Jerusalem being freed. I mean, they just relocated the embassy to Jerusalem and identified Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It's all kinds of things going on over there. Not so good. But it's the beginnings. You know, and it's interesting because what we quoted on the scripture verses was that the gospel will go out to the whole world and then the end will come. Gideon's is part of that. Sending out the word. The gospel is going, what, 200 countries? I mean, it's amazing. So encourage one another. So, we need to hold on. We need to grasp on to the faith. Grasp on to what we believe in. Don't let go. This world is going to try everything it can to get you to let go, to compromise, to give up. The only one that can give up is you. As long as you hold on, Jesus and the Spirit give you the strength to hold on. But if you decide to let go, or if you decide to go your way, it's like some of that one video with the woman sitting on the bed, just, you know, oh, it's time to take off the ring. But she made a choice not to go through with it. We all have a choice to fail or not. You know, you can say, well, you know, there's things in my life and there's things that happen and it's just overwhelming sometimes. Yes, I know. Don't give up coming here. Because those are the times you need the family. You need to call somebody and say, hey, can you pray for me? Can I come over? Is it alright if let's have breakfast together. Let's have lunch together. Let's talk. I need somebody to talk to. There's always some way, always some out for you. But you've got to choose it. You can't let Satan lie to you and say there's no other way. We joke about this one person that he said a woman in the news killed her husband, stabbed him while he was sleeping. And her explanation was, I had no other alternative. Really? You mean you couldn't call the police? You couldn't walk out the door? You couldn't go see somebody? Call somebody? There's all kinds of alternatives. That's the thing that we have to think about. We have a choice, and we need to make that choice. And we're going to sing this last song. And three verses of this song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. It's an old Billy Graham, well, you know, Billy Graham made it famous, I guess, by singing it. George Beverly Shea and all those guys. And I want you to think about what this song is saying. And I want you to give your life to the Lord if you haven't done it already. And if there's problems in your life, bring them all to the Lord. Let's sing this song together as we close.